He has pushed my boundaries. I don't know about you. What did it say? You know, in C.S. Lewis, I think, put it so aptly when writing about Aslan. He said, you know, he's not a tame lion. You know, and it's like, he's not a tame God. And he doesn't have a lot of regard for the box that I like to put him in. Anybody else find that? Praise the Lord, five of us. That's cool, you know. So I just want to tell a quick story about how I met Sarah and Jim. And it was one of those things that really pushed my, first of all, here's the deal. These guys, they are crazy. Okay. They are Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit crazy, but crazy nonetheless. Okay. They are not tame people. Okay. And look, I like neat boxes. Amen. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you guys show up. I love you guys. Y'all are messy. Okay. I can't believe he said that. It's true. Okay. But you know, I like a clean box. I like a tidy box. The Lord knows this. This has been difficulty for me, but we're all learning to expand a little bit. Okay. Praise the Lord. And we were up, Jeremy and myself and Jabron. We try to meet up every year at the Manifest Presence Conference with Darren and Lynette and Phil and Ruth, who help out with oversight within the fellowship here. And they sort of bring us along. And it's been a really neat time, but very stretching. And this year, Randy Clark was there. And I really was challenged by a lot of things that Randy said and a lot of things that he brought out. And I found him a very wise individual. And he was bringing really an anointing, which is something that was kind of new to me. And he invited people to come up. And I had been really getting sort of hit by the Holy Spirit in a way that was making me pretty uncomfortable previous to him inviting people up. And then he invited people up. It's a very long story, but basically there was a woman up at the front. I'm going to be very honest here. I go, this chick is crazy. What is she doing? It was cool. Okay. And I'm just kind of going, what is going on here? And I'm like, Lord, I just want you to touch me. And I think I said something Sarah, I didn't know at the time, but she kind of walked by and I'm like, you seem really happy. I think I said something like that. And she goes, you need the Holy Spirit. And she blows at me, and I'm like, well, that's kind of, and I was like, bro, and I was like, and it, like, look, out of my comfort zone, okay? And the Lord washed over me in just these waves of just beauty and electricity and grace, and I immediately felt like three things kind of left in that impartation, and the reality is we're all getting freed up. But I went up because in my mind, I'm like, oh, Randy Clark's laying hands on people. Oh, and Bill Johnson too. Praise the Lord. And the crazy gal was who I got anointed by. You know, I mean, praise the Lord. So then we show up, we go over, and I met Sarah a couple times, and we'd been chatting with them, and we went over to their fellowship, awesome fellowship over in Hamilton with our team, and had a great time there. And I was sort of looking at her, and I thought, I know her. And I went up, and I said, hey, were you at Manifest Present this year? And she goes, no. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure you were. And she goes, that's right, I was. And I said, you did something to me. I don't really know. And she's like, oh yeah, I do that a lot, you know? And I'm like, okay, well, praise the Lord. And so look, it's been a stretch for me, guys, but the fruit has been good. I'm the Lord's freeing me up. And so I use that as an introduction to Sarah and Jim. And I find them to be such a neat couple who can impart. And I believe the Lord wants to release some people today. And I'm excited. So thank you for being here with us today. So I'm turning it over to you guys.
Do you want to come up, Jim? Do you have a podium?
I do.
Something I can put some stuff on? Thank you. Wow, that was an introduction. So who wants to run out the door? It's over there. You have up to three to leave. One, because if you stay, that's on your own head. Two. So therefore, those who stay are open to what God wants to do. Three. Right, praise God. You've had your opportunity. Be warned. I think I preached at Women's Aglow in Hamilton last week and I said, put your seatbelts on. We're about to take off. God is so good. He is so good. There is nothing to be afraid of because he knows exactly where each one of you are at and he has only good things for you. This is my husband, Jim. Do you want to say hi?
Yep. Hello, everybody. You want me to say a bit more than hi?
No, that'll do.
Okay. Actually, I've just got a bit of a story. And, you just got to be careful because what you ask of God. Because I remember just sitting in a conference too once. And, I just had no money. And I said to the Lord, I said, if I just had 20 bucks, or if I had some money, I'd give it to you. And somebody went and got 20 bucks and put it in my hand. And then I started thinking, man, I could go and get a feed with this. And then the offering came around and I quickly remembered what I'd prayed. And I quickly just stuck it in the bag. So, God answers things just so quick sometimes that you actually don't even actually realise he's actually doing it. And at that stage, he'd done it so quick and done it instantly that I actually didn't realise my prayer was answered.
Thanks, dear. So this is Jim. He's an amazing man. We have one daughter, Kate, who is 21 soon, and she's down in Christchurch studying engineering. So that's our family. Can I just get the team to stand up that came with me? Just to introduce, we have to take a team with us because God moves. And you've got to learn to run when God moves. This is Laurie here. Laurie is preaching at our gathering tonight on the fire of God. So if you feel like travelling to Hamilton, he's preaching. Janine here is in the office with me. She's a real blessing. She has a word for you too, so I want you to come up here now. Sandra is another intern of ours, which is just amazing, and Abby, which is Laurie's wife. So, Janine, do you want to come up, please? Do you want to come up, Siobhan?
Actually, you just remember something else, too. Our prayer meeting on Wednesday night kind of turned to this gathering. We spent quite a lot of time, actually, in the end. And I just remember something else. I love your name, Ascentuch. It's so prophetic. And I just had a picture of just the reaching up into the Lord and just chains breaking off. And I think we can become so focused with the things that bind us. But as we set our attention on the Lord, He just deals with it, doesn't he? He just deals when the chains come off. But as you're praying, I felt the Lord would just want to really encourage and acknowledge your faithfulness and your perseverance. And through, through this journey that has been long at times, you've kept your vision before you, you've been faithful. And I felt the Lord saying, get ready for the suddenlies because you're going to see a lot of the fruit that you've been waiting for. And so as individuals and breakthrough, your congregation, but also the vision as a whole. And so just bless you. Expect the suddenlies because they're coming. And you've been sowing and you've been faithful. And so, God is also faithful. And, I'm really excited for you to see him break out in your midst as your heart desires. So. I have. Oh God, I'm a beginner. It's not true, but it's the same Holy Spirit. Hey. Oh, I just feel the Father's heart for you. He loves you with a passion, and actually, I think it's a similar. It's like we fear the fire. Often we fear the fire. We fear that we'll get burnt up in it. But actually, it's the passion of his love, and the fire in his eyes. He so intensely loves us that that there's no fear. I just encourage you not to fear the fire, not to fear change, because it's all about his love and his freedom on the other side. And it's a place of lightness and intense joy. And so, yeah, I think, yeah, I believe, just don't fear the fire. It's the passion of his love. And he's coming. He's coming in power. I'm really excited for this congregation. he is coming. And yeah, expect the suddenlies. Each of you, expect the suddenlies in your lives. The things that God has promised you in days gone by, the things you've let go of because they've seen a long time coming. God is not slow. He's never late. They're coming. All your promises, that God, they're yea and amen, because God is not a man who would lie. He's faithful and true. So get ready, people. He's coming. Bless you.
Amen. Thanks, Janine. That was awesome. So if you want to be part of our team and get thrown on the spot like that, come and see me another time. Didn't she do well? Thanks, Janine. Thanks. Guys, thanks for having us. Eh? It's a real pleasure to be here. You know, I really believe, and Scott's already alluded to it, that God wants to show you his nature and his character in different ways than you're used to. You know, we're so used to hearing God a certain way or not hearing God a certain way. And God is saying to you this morning, I want you to learn new ways of hearing me, new ways of seeing me. We used to be missionaries. First of all, we were sheep and beef farmers in the King Country. I was an Auckland girl, a yuppie, and I married a King Country cocky. And then the Lord took us to China, Tibet. We trained in Missions Bible College, and then the Lord took us to China on the Tibetan Plateau. So that's sort of a very quick version of us. But I had a story this morning that kept coming at me to share. And I had surgery on the Tibetan Plateau. I had emergency surgery. We lived high altitude. We couldn't go lower because I had what they thought was appendicitis. And so to go back to the city where the hospitals, good hospitals, where would mean going over high altitude. And so that was not recommended. So it was emergency surgery. So I went into surgery in the clothes that I'd vomited and diarrhea'd up in. I went into a surgery where you scream in English, yet they understand Chinese and Tibetan. So when you're in a lot of pain, you scream in your native language. You don't scream in the language that you have to. But, you know, everybody understands a scream. But I went into this surgery and I was allergic to morphine. I was their first foreigner, and I'm not a small one. So they were taking photos of me on the operating table because, you know, it's a real privilege to have a white foreigner on their operating table. They were making jokes about me. So it was all quite, you know, dramatic. I came out of surgery without anaesthetic. And I can't... Ooh, there's a word there for somebody. Somebody's in a lot of pain. And as I was crying out to God, because I was used to hearing God by his voice, I used to hear it just all the time. Do you know, I could just, it was like conversation just with Jim. I could hear God like that. And then suddenly, as I came out of the surgery, it was like, where is God? I couldn't feel God. I couldn't hear God. I couldn't, you know, nothing. There was nothing. And so I said to God, where are you? And he said to me, he said, Sarah, I'm in the people who are loving you, who are holding your hand, who are wiping your backside when you can't do it. You know, I'm in those people and I want you to see me in those people. Do you see, we get so used to hearing and seeing God a certain way that we miss God when he's right in front of us. We miss what he's doing when he's right in front of us. Do you know, we have an image of God and it's this. And God wants to shift your image today to see him in a way that whatever pain you're going through, it's for your good. Do you see, if I hadn't gone through that experience, I would never have understood the grace of God. 2 years earlier, God had said to us, you're part of this team. He says, you're not going to be part of them in 2 years' time. And I said to the Lord, why? He said, because their hearts are purely for Tibetans, but you will go anywhere. But that 2 years, I ended up having surgery. Our daughter was in Thailand at boarding school, so I missed my only child, hadn't seen her for 5 months. You know, we'd shifted further out in high altitude. Just life was really, really hard. Anybody got life going on that's really hard? But if I hadn't walked that journey, I wouldn't have understood the grace of God. Do you know, it's in our hardest trials sometimes that actually we see God for who he really is. Many of us have mindsets that says God's a judging God. God's this, he's that. Do you know, and it all comes under law. It all comes under right and wrong. It all comes under, do you know, the images that we have of God, which for most of us is actually incorrect, or it's only a faucet of who our God is. It's only a faucet. And I think, you know, it's like a diamond. You only see one side of the diamond, but there's so many cuts on this diamond that shape and make the beauty of a diamond. And today God wants to shape and make you and see other parts. So it's just part of it. But I got so many stories, so one of these stories is going to affect each and every one of you. So if you're struggling in pain, God wants to heal you this morning. If you've been walking a journey where you can't hear or see God, he wants to show you him in a new way. So we need to open our ears and eyes to hear what the Spirit is saying. So that was one surgery. The scripture I've got, I'm giving you the look, is Galatians 5:6. Have you got that, Dougie? Good. Oh, it's on. No. Oh, yes. Yes, it is. It's bigger than it was. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Is faith expressing itself through love? So what does that look like? What does faith expressing itself through love mean? Can you give me what love is, please? The 1 John 3, 1 John. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid his life down for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That is how we know what love is. We know Jesus Christ laid his life down for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for others. Previous to that surgery, 2 years earlier, I'd been flown out with emergency. I was emergency flown out of the Tibetan Plateau with a suspected pulmonary embolism. Does anybody here know pulmonary embolism? It's a blood clot that can instantly kill you. So here we were, white foreigners on a plane and a bunch of Chinese and Tibetans with ear pillows on the plane giving me oxygen. We had our doctor flying with us because he was so scared I was going to die on the way. So it was just drama after drama. But, you know, I flew out with pulmonary embolism, but they couldn't find it. You know, God is a God who heals. Prior to that happening, that whole week, everything had gone wrong. Everyone in our household, like we had a helper, she was hurt. Our daughter was hurt. Jim and I were hurt. And I'm saying this because there is a battle that is going on for your life. There is a battle. Everyone in our household was hurt. We'd had a flood. water taps were broken. It was just... And then suddenly, I was flown out with emergency pulmonary embolism. But you know what? God had already had that sorted because he prompted a Korean pastor who I didn't know to ring his worker on our field and say, what is going on there? We need to pray. And do you know what this Korean did? She told him, this Korean pastor got a whole bunch of children and they fasted and prayed for me for 10 days. People I never met before, God prompted to fast and pray for me. Do you see, God's got people for you who are praying for you, who are supporting you, who are, you know, half of you don't even know that. But there is a fight going on for your lives. There is a fight in the heavenlies going on for your life. There are people who are praying for your life. You know, my grandmother, she prayed. She prayed. And I am the fruit of her prayers. You know, there are people who are praying. Don't forget that God will raise up intercessors. If there is nobody around you, don't worry about it. God will raise somebody up from the other side of the world. God has your back. But anyway, so I got healed. God came in all his glory and healed me. You know, it was a place where, wow, God. Jim and Kate were asleep on the couch in my hospital room. God came. I don't care about them. I'm off. Do you know? That's the presence of God. Where his love is so overwhelming. You're not worried about these guys because they're fine. They're absolutely fine. Remember that. Your children are fine. God loves them. He loves them so much. But faith expressing itself through love. Just after that, we got back to where we lived, and two of our teammates were going further out, higher up into an area that was like 4,500 metres in altitude in the middle of nowhere. And I started to pray, and I really felt three people needed to go. And I felt I needed to go. And I said to my team, because I'd just been away, pulmonary embolism. I, at that time, had pleurisy as well. I'll come back with pleurisy. I mean, this may sound dramatic, but this was life on the Tibetan plateau. But I asked my leadership, can I go on this trip? Because I really felt three people needed to go. I felt like it was a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego situation. And my leadership came back to me and said, no, you can't go, but I will pray about it. And so anyway, they prayed about it. And they came back the next day and said, Sarah, okay, you can go. Because, you see, at high altitude, anything can happen really fast. And they said, okay, Sarah, you can go. But Jim and I knew very well at the time that in me going, it was putting my life on the line. And that's why the team had said no. Because they knew the reality of the practical situation. But you see, what is faith? Faith expressing itself through love. Love is what? Laying your life down for others. Do you see, it's going to cost you to love. It's going to cost you when all reality says, actually, by the world standard, no. But actually, by God's standard, he gave me a scripture, I'll make your feet like the feet of the deer to climb the heights. That was a scripture he gave me. And so we got confirmation from the body, right, Sarah, you can go. Knowing full well the reality meant in the practical and the natural, I might not come home. But God said, you see, there's many but gods in our lives. Many but gods. But he gave me a scripture, I'll make your feet like the feet of the deer to climb the heights. And so we went by faith. And I tell you what, I've never been so good at high altitude. You know, I was struggling to breathe at home. Go to high altitude, I was fine. The best I ever was, praise God. But we went out there. We were, how many hours? At least 12 hours from the city. At least, actually, it was probably further than that. And, you know, the whole reason for three, because one of my teammates got bitten by a Tibetan mastiff while we were out there. Tibetans are big hoary dogs, bulldogs, you're big bulldogs like here in New Zealand that will kill you. You know, these guys will kill you and they carry rabies. Anyway, one of my teammates got bitten on her leg. Well, we were out there and that's what happened. And she comes in and there was myself, my other teammate, and this one that got bitten. And we were in this room, and we started to pray. And it was like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but in the fire. But you know what happened in the fire? That I saw a fourth in the fire. In that place where we were away from any contact, out of cell phone coverage, out of hospital help, out of everything, God came. We had a room full of Tibetans. You know, Tibetans are Tibetan Buddhists, okay? Some of the blackest stuff in the spiritual realm. And they're sitting there and they're on their prayer wheels and they're doing their prayer beads 24/7. They never stop. They just keep going. When we started to pray, they stopped. They just stopped because they said they saw a fourth in the room. Do you see? And it opened the door for God to move in that place. Because our cars are broken down where we were, they had to fix the cars before we could go out. But it opened the door because we were stuck. We had to get back to the city within 24 hours for a rabies shot. But it opened the door for us to sit there and tell stories about Jesus. Do you see? Faith expressing itself through love meant I had to lay my life down. It came at a cost. But do you know, when you've got a promise from God, God will do what he said he will do. He will do it. But you see, it's upside down to the way of the world. And this is what I mean. We're going to see God in a different way. You know, some of the testimonies I've got right now that God just gave me as I sat down here, and I believe God wants to speak to people here, is about money. Ha ha! Money. Finances. Anybody have an issue with finances in the house? Right, well, this is for you. Because he gave me story after story of finances. Sorry, I'm getting a little dry. Yeah. You know the story of the widow who had to give her last in order for the jar to be refilled. Do you know? God calls us. This is the whole point of laying our lives down. Faith expressing itself through love. What does faith look like? Faith means taking hold of the promises of God and believing in them. Faith is believing in what you cannot see. So the way of the kingdom is working on faith, not by sight. Whereas the way of the world works by sight. Do you see my story where I went out to the area just after having pulmonary embolism and struggling with pleurisy was a way of the world that would say, no, don't go, Sarah. But the way of faith said, okay, we've got scriptures, we're going to stand with you and we're going to see what this is about. Two different ways, ways of the world, ways of the kingdom. God wants to teach us the way of the kingdom in the arena of finances. Because of the way of the kingdom is giving everything you've got, holding nothing back, and seeing his provision come in. Do you know, as I kept sitting down here, it was like God said, tell stories from old, draw out of the storehouse old and new stories. New stories is the way of finances. As 2 weeks ago, we were called to give a decent amount of money to somebody who had needs. But I knew in doing so, it would bring our bank account down to zip. That's the way of the kingdom. So if you're storing up riches on earth, that's the way of man. But if you're sowing into the kingdom and you're giving to the needs around you, because it says in Romans, it says, give to God's people in need. Practice hospitality. What does giving to God's people in need look like? Seeing a need, and if I've got it in my bag, I give it. I'm not worrying about tomorrow, because God will give me the provision tomorrow. Do you see? So I looked at this, I thought, oh, Jim, I don't know whether you were hearing right from God. Usually it's the other way around. Usually he's saying to me, Sarah, you're not hearing right from God. because I'm the radical one in that arena, or have been. So he said, so I thought, okay, I'll be obedient here. It's costing me just to be obedient. I really don't want to do this, Lord. But I did. And within a few days, double the amount came back in. See, that's the way of the kingdom. A few years ago when we were looking at going to China on a spy out the land trip, we'd done missionary training college. We were then on staff at the Missionary Bible College over in Hamilton. We weren't missionaries as such, so we didn't have an income. We weren't on the benefit because we were actually on staff, so we had no income. So we finished our end of our Bible college year, and we had about $1,600 left in our bank account. So we still had to pay all the bills. We had no income coming in. And then God says to us one day, I want you to give that away. I want you to give it to these people going to Turkey. This is why we're crazy. Because actually I take God, hey, at his word. I take him at his word, and I'm willing to step out by faith in what I believe he has said. See, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And what is love? Laying my life down for somebody else. So $1,600, this guy's going to Turkey. We go to their door and we say, look here, God's given us, told us to give you this money. And they cried. They said, Sarah, God said it would come from people who couldn't afford it. Do you see, most finances in the kingdom of God come from people who live by faith. They don't come from people who have money. People who have money tend to hold on to it. But actually, the way of the kingdom is to be generous and sow and to give everything you've got, trusting in God for your provision. So we were called to give away this money, knowing we had no money coming in, knowing that God was speaking to us about doing a trip to China. That was on the Tuesday. No, Friday. We gave it away on the Friday. And then, Friday morning, and then God says to us, now I want you to go and put your name down on that trip going to China. So here we are, we're just giving away the last of what we had. And then he said, now go put your name down on that list. We had said no to going on that trip because they were going to a different part we didn't want to go. And we didn't have the finances and everything else. But they'd been planning for months. So we went. I said, look, I don't know what this is about, but God just told us to put our names down on the trip. You're going where we don't want to go, but I don't know. I'm just going to do it. See, we try to work it out in the way of the world. We try to figure out why we're doing what we're doing. Nobody here works by the mind, do they? Nobody here tries to work out what they're doing and why they're doing it. Faith by sight. Anyway, I said, I don't know why we're doing it, but that's okay, because our heart was for Tibetans. And anyway, we met with the group. There was eight of them all going. They'd been planning for months. And that day, all of them except one, it was their last meeting, all of them except one pulled out, which opened the way for God to set up a trip to where we wanted to go. Do you see? We try to work it out. They were going where we didn't want to go. We wanted to go here. But God said, no, now go and put your name down. Why? Because he knew the bigger plan. He knew what was going on with everyone else. Sometimes we only see our part and we miss what God is doing with the bigger picture, because it's not just about you. Anybody here, it's just about you? Nobody, eh? Anyway, so that was Friday. On Tuesday, we received a card in the mail from someone in Auckland who knew nothing of what was happening. And she said, Sarah, I want to pay for you to go to China whenever you decide to go. Did you hear that? Did you hear that testimony? Here we had just given away $1,600, the last of what we had. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 5 days later, within the week, God turned around with $8,000. That's the way of the kingdom. Do you see, when you hold on to what you have, you cannot allow God to move. And so many of us are storing up. But God wants to say to you, I want to pour out so much riches on you, except you're holding on to what you have. Do you see, when you act by faith and by love, nothing can stop God. He will back up everything he has ever said. And we have so many testimonies of financial provision. I would be here till kingdom come. I am dead serious, eh, Jim? It's been a thing over our lives. We have a gift of faith and finances. So if you need prayer to see a gift of faith released into you for the finances, we want to pray for you. Do you see? But we've got to learn to let go. We've got to be willing to give up what we're holding on to, because that's the way of the kingdom. That's not the way of man. Do you see, kingdom and man are very different. I had to let go of the way I saw God and the way I heard God. I heard him this way, and he's saying, Sarah, you need to see me this way. Do you know, when we're willing to move with the cloud, God will show us great things. But if we won't move with what God is doing, you'll miss out on everything God has for you. You know, and the challenge in the church right now, it said, and can we go back to that, Galatians 5:6, please? The other one. The other verse. For in Christ Jesus, circumcision or uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Circumcision, uncircumcision, law and grace. Many of us are getting bound up in law, bound up in right and wrong, bound up in theology, bound up in arguments of every kind. It's not the way of love. Because the way of love is laying your life down. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be right. Does it matter if I'm wronged? The way of love. The way of love is being able to speak the truth in love, which means I don't have to have it right. Do you see, Jesus was king. He was Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He was the creator of the earth, yet he laid his life down. He didn't go to that cross trying to get justice. He didn't go to that cross trying to be proved right, because he knew who he was. Do you see, wisdom will prove her children right. Fear of God will prove you right. Do you know, God's taken us on another journey since all of Tibet, and this is when we came home to New Zealand, and he released on me a gift that sort of blew me out of this box. You know, I had boxes too. I had it all sorted. You know, I was good, man. You know, and then God says, hey, I want to do this. I want to give you this gift. You know, some of the gifts God wants to give us, we really don't want. Anybody been like that? I know many prophetic people have wanted to give up their gifts because it costs them too much. You know, some of the gifts God gives us, we actually hear God, I don't want it. You have it back. He gave me a gift. Thank you, Jesus, for you are good. He's good. He's so good. Hey, he's so good. Everything God does is good. Everything man does washes away. But everything God does, do you know, and God gave me this gift, and it's like rocked me, rocked Jim, rocked the church, rocked everybody. Hallelujah. Where are your foundations? In Christ alone. Do you see? See, Paul says in Corinthians 4, he set apostles in a ring on condemned to die in an arena See, some of us were called to be apostles. That means we're condemned to die. Guess what? We've got to get over our fear of death. Guess what? His perfect love casts out all fear. See, each one of us are called to move in a way of apostolic. Each one of us are called to move in a way where signs and wonders follow those who believe. Every single one of us, no excuses. Some of us have the mantle for it, but all of us are called to move where signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. All of us. But you see, we decide how that looks. And actually, if I'm fully surrendered, what does that look like? Because actually there's no fear in his love. And so if I'm still afraid of man persecuting me, of what man thinks about me, I've still got fear. I still haven't got a revelation of how much he loves me. If I'm not willing to be made a fool of for Christ, whatever that looks like, and it's, oh, here we go. I worked in a garage pouring petrol. Anybody here work in a garage? Pouring petrol. It's a great place to meet people. Everybody's getting petrol. It's a great place to meet people. Well, I'm on the counter, as you do. And this woman comes in, and I start manifesting. And I sit there going, okay, Lord, what's going on here? And I said to her, I don't know about you, but, you know, God wants to do something with you. Can I pray for you? There's a woman I'd never met in the petrol station. And she says, yeah, sure. And so I pray for her. Well, power of God. You know, the power of God comes upon people for the working of miracles. Well, the power of God came upon me in the petrol station. You know, put your finger in the power plug and party time. So the power of God came upon me in the petrol station. My boss walks past. Oh no, straight away it runs through my head. Who do you obey, God or man? So I carried on. Because we have the opportunity to shut it down. But do I love my life so much as to shrink from death? Do I love my life so much as that when God is moving, I'll shut it off because of what man thinks? Do I love my life so much that I'll actually stop doing that because I don't know where my provision comes from and I need this job? Ooh. Do you see? But you see, God loves me so much that when he went past, do you obey God or man? I carried on. I thought, okay, I'm going to get the sack here. He comes to me later and he says, Sarah, you're going to have to watch who you do that to. Okay, and that was the end of that. But he's not a Christian. But do I pray for him? Do I hug him? Does he allow me to come and witness the scriptures to him? Yes. Because I've not held back who I am. Do you see, if we're holding back who we are, we're fearing man over God. It's a good word. It's a good word. Do you know, another person came into the petrol station. He had a problem with his knee. You know, when you're at the counter, is there anything I can else help you with? You know, I have a sore knee. I have a sore knee. Okay. Right, well, I'm going to pray. I'm a Christian. Don't know what you believe, but can I pray for you? All you got to do is offer it. So here I am praying for this guy for his knee. Another guy comes in. He's standing at the back. He says, I see we get the full service here. Do you see the gospel is the full service? Do you know God wants to heal people here today? Do you want to come up and quickly share your testimony of your knee being healed? Thank you. Oh, now that's love, faith. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, we're doing a School of the Spirit at the moment. Some of your people here are coming, which is awesome to have them coming all the way from Rotorua. But Abby here, we did activation. for words of knowledge, and one of them was for a knee on Thursday. So do you want to share?
Yeah. Yep. So about 17 years ago, I had a horse riding accident, and my friend wouldn't ring the ambulance because she was too scared she'd get in trouble. So I had injuries to the whole left-hand side of my body, and it really caused issues with my everyday life, really. And I never knew when it was going to pop up and be real problematic for me. And it just was really annoying and irritating a lot. So I had prayer on Wednesday night, and it's finally been healed, which has been really awesome. So, yeah, all glory to God for that one.
Amen. But you know what? There was opportunity on Wednesday night not for that word of knowledge to come forth, wasn't there? Not pointing the finger at anybody in particular. Do you know, I said to all the team, I said to everyone there, didn't I? Is there anybody got a word of knowledge for healing? Because I felt God was releasing healing at the time. And nobody came forth. But I know my God, and I know when he's moving, and I know what he's doing now. I've learned to learn. I've learned to discern. And so I kept pushing this. Is there anyone here with a word of... Blow me down, it was Jim, sitting right here, not releasing his word of knowledge for healing on knees. Abby could have so missed her opportunity for healing had he not been pushed, actually, to release his word of knowledge. Do you see faith expressing itself through love? It says, actually, there's power of God all over you. Can I pray for you, even if you're in the supermarket? Even if you're in the petrol station? Doesn't have to be with Christians. Even if it's in your home with unbelievers. Do you see faith expressing itself? I'm willing to lay my life down because I trust my God as my provider. He's my provider. Doesn't matter what others think. My God is my provider. And so I just want to leave it there. But I just want to tell you, that's the only way to freedom. It's the only way to true freedom, is stepping out on faith in what you believe. What you believe God is saying. And then you learn to discern his voice. You may not hear him here, but God's saying, actually look for me. Do you know it's like margarine in a fridge? You know how you can go into your fridge and you're looking for the margarine, you can't see it, but it's right in front of you. That's the kingdom of God. God is right in front of you. He's the margarine right in front of you. And the only reason you're not seeing is because you're looking here instead of here. It's the only reason you're missing out on the goodness of God is because often we have our focus elsewhere instead of looking at God. And so I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you into faith. I want to encourage you to know that God is your provider for everything. He is the one who can save you from death. You know, it says he did not love his life so much as to shrink from death. If you have a fear of death, I want to pray for you because it's a gift that God's given me, is to bring life, to see the dead raised, and I've seen them raised. I've seen them die too. But do you know what I mean? There is so much we're missing out on because we're looking through eyes of man and not eyes of the kingdom. Eyes where we're holding on to what we've got because we haven't got enough for tomorrow. And he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Do you see, that's my God, upside down to the ways of the world. That's why we're crazy. That's why we're radical, because we actually believe. We actually believe. Amen. So we want to pray for people. If there's something that's spoken for you, I mean, there's words of knowledge, somebody feels like they're a bit flat, God wants to breathe life into you again. Distractions, keep seeing distractions, keep getting focused elsewhere. Oh, there's people here who feel like they're in no man's land. Don't know where you're going. Is there anything else you guys had come? Any words of knowledge that came? No, one, two, gone. Thanks.
I just, you know, it's interesting as sort of Sarah's sharing that she has really, her and Jim have this gift to sort of bring life. That was very much the experience I had. with these guys. Very much the experience I had. I had been in a very flat place, and there was just a joy that was breathed into me. It was just a vitality and a life that was breathed into me through Sarah. But I felt like there was a couple stories, just very briefly, that God wanted me to share, and there was a statement he wanted me to make. The statement he wants me to make is something I've been avoiding for a couple weeks. And he's made it clear that there are people here who need to hear this. And you're not going to want to hear it. But it's a principle that God needs you to understand so you can get to where he wants you to be and where you want to be. Some of you, and here's a statement. Some of you lack today because you refused to sow yesterday. How dare he? Yeah, exactly. That's why the Lord brought it. So the principle is 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. Read them. Let them speak to you. It's called the Bible. It's the truth. It's the word of God. You lack today because you refuse to sow yesterday. And the problem is, so you're saying to the Lord, Lord, I lack today. Help me. And do you know what his answer is? Because what you want him to do is just go, thunk, and like a bag of gold falls at your feet. Lord, help me. Thunk. And some, I can even see it. Some of you are like, no, I don't think that. So here's the thing, is you're saying, Lord, help me. And he says, so. See, that's the principle. You have to sow to reap. Oh, that sounds pretty self-serving, Scott. Dude, whatever. I'm taken care of. Do you know why? Because I sow. These guys are taken care of. Do you know why? Because they sow. My wife takes care of all the finances in our family. I don't know why, because I'm a total control freak. I don't have a clue how much money we have. I just buy surfboards and fishing equipment. You know what I'm saying? and bullets. Okay, and that's it. That's all I do. And so it's interesting, because I get the bank account from the church every once in a while, and I see how much we give. I'm like, what is this chick think? What? You know, I'm like, honey, that's a lot of bullets, dude. You know what I mean? But it's like, she's like, well, you know, that's what, and I see, and I'm like, oh, well, praise the Lord. We sow. I mean, not me, but she. And the other day I was sitting here, and we had had a worship night, and I'd gotten upset about a few things, very rare for me. That's a prophetic word, just in case. And I walked out, and I came back because I'm godly. And we as a church, we were in a very bad financial position. Not because of me. I'll let that sink in for a sec. But God is faithful. And so it was interesting, because as I came back in, somebody came up to me and they said, oh, hey, man, I've been looking for you. Somebody I had not expected to see. And I had also been having a little bit of a grizzle, very rare again, over a few things. Like, you know, I'm like, you know, Lord, I know people who they have jobs and they get, my brother just gotten a big bonus through his work and everything. And I'm like, I never get a bonus. Anybody ever feel like that? You know, I'm like, you know, I work for you and I never get a bonus. And the Lord said, I kid you not. He goes, what do you want? I go, I want a new deer rifle. Ha! What are you going to do about that? And he goes, pick one out. Now, here's the thing. I got cheap. Oh, man. And so I picked one that was, yeah, you know, middle to low end. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah, it's good. This guy comes up to, I kid you not, this, that was that afternoon. That evening, this guy comes up to me, goes, hey, here's a check for the church. Or he goes, here's a little something for the church. Okay, there was not a lot, but a couple zeros after it. Like enough to really get us through the next season. Because I feel there were people who weren't sowing. I don't say that to condemn anyone. I just say it as an observation. So this guy stepped up and I was like, wow, praise the Lord. And he goes, oh, and here's something for you. He said, God told me you have something you want. To the penny. The rifle I had picked out. To the penny. The right. And then I started getting weird. I'm like, oh, you know, maybe I should give this to this person. And the Lord's like, I gave it to you. So the idea is you lack today because you didn't sow yesterday. So here's the thing. We're going to come in. I'm just going to have the guys come up and just sort of lead us in a little bit of worship, just some quiet worship. I want you to be set free. See, that's what they're talking about. We're putting this in the vernacular, in the language of finances, because that's the language, the only language some of you will hear. But there's health that God wants to bring to you. There's vitality in the spirit that God wants to bring to you. He wants to lift malaise and he wants to bring you out of a dark season. When we say we want you to prosper, that's what we're talking about. Did I give that subtle little hint for the worship team to come forward? What are you teaching these guys? Was that clear to everybody else? Okay, praise the Lord. Leonie, you gotta we're just gonna open it up to look, all I can say is these guys, this team, they have a mantle to bring this. And so this morning, that's it. That's all we're going to do. And it's the usual deal. If you feel uncomfortable with what's going on, if you're a little, you know, if you got to go to grandma's house for Sunday afternoon lunch or whatever, praise the Lord. But stick around. I mean, I think you guys look like you got some robustness as far as being able to stick through a little bit of prayer. And they'll stay, you know. I know, yeah. We don't have anything planned for the next 2 days. You know, we could be here for a while, but I can tell you the Lord's highlighting ones to me right now that just need to have something just lifted off. For some of you, it's financial. For some of you, it's emotional. For some of you, it's spiritual, but you think it's situational. I want you to hear that. It's spiritual, but you think it's situational. And for others, God wants to continue you on the trajectory that you're going. But it's important that spiritually you get that boost, that wind to keep you going in that place. Are we good? So look, we're just going to just provide a little bit of atmosphere. Where do you guys want to pray? Do you want to pray here? I'll tell you what. Okay, so Sarah's like, can we get rid of some of these chairs up here? I don't even know what that means. Okay, it could get exciting. So we're just going to just have some worship. We're going to bring the house lights down, and we're just going to begin to minister up in here. Is that where you guys want to go? And so just come on forward, get some prayer, let the Lord speak to you.